Verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you tuning in today, and we want to take just a moment to let you know about the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And where we are is 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South going out of Boone towards Fosco. And we are just above the Willow Creek golf course. Our Sunday morning services begin every Sunday at 10 a.m. Our Sunday school classes for all ages, and then our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And my, how important it is that we meet and pray. I've said many, many times, if that's all we did was just meet and have some scripture reading and pray, then that's what is most important. And so we do believe in prayer, and we always try to pray and lift each other up. And we have a system in our church where when somebody has a prayer request, we have a text message tree, I guess is what you would call it. And so a lot of times a week we'll get a request for prayer. And I know that the Lord does hear and answer our prayers, and we're so thankful for that. I want to apologize for the two radio stations that play us on Saturday. Last week we failed to get the broadcast recorded, and I apologize for that. But sometimes things happen. Noah's back with us today, and it's good to see him, and I appreciate his help and all he does with the radio ministry. We missed you last week. I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back, and we do want to say welcome to those who are listening right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina, and those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. Those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota. We do appreciate all our listeners.
We do appreciate our listeners. And we're going to sort of finish one study and start another study today. We've been studying civics, and we did 15 weeks. Last week was the 15th week. We talked about civics, which is simply this, the rights and duties of citizens, and how the government works. And I want to say on this Tuesday, this radio broadcast after the presidential election and then all the other elections that took place in the country, that I'm more than a little bit encouraged that it seems that we the people still have a say. Now, I'll be honest. I sort of had already decided what I thought the election was going to turn out to be, but I was just as surprised as a lot of other people was. And what that lets me know is that the American people, not all, but many, are still engaged. They are concerned about our country. And whether you like Donald Trump or not, you ought to like this, that for the first time in, I don't know, maybe the duration of our history, we have somebody that is not an insider. And I think that's good. And I've said that a lot of times here on the Blessings of Liberty broadcast, that we are stuck in this circle of same old, same old. And it doesn't matter if it's Republicans or the Democrats gets in, things stay the same. We're gridlocked. We're not getting anything done. We're heading a long way down the wrong way for a lot of different reasons. So I'm encouraged that this will be a step in the right direction for our country, and I hope there can be healing, and I hope people can come together and try to do the best they can for our nation. But what I want to begin looking at today, as I've said already, we have looked at civics, and we've been studying about that. Today I want to begin to look at the subject of education. And we're going to look at the subject of education in our history and what that has to do with our government, what that has to do with the blessings of liberty. And we might ask the question, what does education have to do with the blessings of liberty. Our founding fathers knew that an educated people was essential to maintain a free society. It was not their intention to ever keep the American people in the dark or to keep them ignorant of the goings-on of our government. And if you study American history, and I love to study American history, I enjoy that more than all the rest of the world history, and I know a little bit about some of it, I think. But anyway, American history, as we study that from our very, very beginning, the people that came to this country, the pilgrims that first came to this country in 1620, they were a educated people. They were a people that could read, could write, could express themselves. They knew that, you know, they were not in darkness as far as reading and writing and smarts is concerned. They were educated when they came, and they furthered that in their homes and among their children. And then when they begin to interact with the Indians, you know, they endeavor to teach them. And then after the Pilgrims, shortly after the Pilgrims, the area of New England was becoming heavily populated with the Puritans and the Congregationalists and the Presbyterians and the Baptist people. And so the New World, as people come to the New World, and all throughout the 13 colonies and the Western expansion of our country, even up until today, you can look back in our history in America and you will never find a time when education was considered to be unimportant. In America, education has always been stressed. It has always been very important. For example, as early as 1647, now that's just 27 years after the Pilgrims got off the Mayflower at Plymouth Rock. 27 years later, there was enough people populating the colony of Massachusetts that they passed a law. They passed a law for any community that had more than 50 people that they would establish a community school. And any community that had more than 100 people would establish a secondary school. So not only what we consider an elementary education by law, but then the larger communities, they would have beyond that. And their desire was to prepare students, to prepare them for a higher education, to go to Harvard. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. And so from the very beginnings of our country, education has been stressed. In 1794, the American Spelling Book had a section called a Federal Catechism. And what it was in the lessons for the children, it was an introduction to civics. And in that introduction to civics, it gave a short explanation of the principles of the American constitutional form of government. It defined America as a representative republic. It explained the defects of democracy, and it discussed why a federal representative form of government was better than a democracy. And all the early history books in our country taught the subject of civics. And so as we've been teaching on that, and I noticed I had not come across till recently, but I taught the same things when I taught just in the past few weeks about civics and what it was, about our constitutional form of government. And we talked about the defects of democracy, how that our country is not a democracy, but our country is a republic, and why that's better than a pure democracy. And so it was stressed very early on in our nation that an education involved knowledge of civics, the rights and duties of people, and how our government works. I've mentioned this before. There's a man named Alexis de Tocqueville, and I'm probably butchering his name. I'm not fluent in the French language and how they pronounce their names, and I don't know anybody named that around here, but he was a Frenchman. And he came to America in the early 1800s. He traveled all over the country. He traveled in the big cities. He traveled in the frontier, in the wilderness, he called it. He called it the deserts of America. And he wrote a book, Democracy in America. And in that, he was trying to find out what made America so great. How could this young nation, I mean, they'd just gone through an American Revolutionary War. They'd gone through an upheaval concerning the original Constitution, the Articles of Federation, and then the War of 1812. And so, you know, America came about against all odds, overcome the greatest military presence in the whole world, the greatest navy. The British Navy, and America won, and America was growing, and America was strong, and he went throughout all America to find out what made America great. And that book is very interesting and worth reading, but he talked about an American. He said, if you question him respecting his own country, he will inform you what his rights are and by what means he exercises them. He will be able to point out the customs which obtain in the political world. You will find he is well acquainted with the rules of administration and the mechanism of the laws. And so as he went throughout America, what he found out was that Americans were not ignorant. He was amazed, and he said this, and others said that, agreed with the same thing, that early on in our nation, there were more people in America that could read than in Europe. The education had been stressed to the point. And, you know, you wouldn't think that. But in America, more people were educated than in Europe at the same time. And in France and England and places like that. John Adams, who was our second president, he wrote this in 1765. He said, a native of America who cannot read and write is as rare as a comet or an earthquake. That's before the Declaration of Independence. Early on in our country, education was stressed among all of our people. Now, we ask ourselves a question, why? Why all the emphasis on learning? Well, it wasn't because of the schools, because there were no schools. It wasn't because of the colleges, because at first there were no colleges. It depended on the home. You know, all of the schools in America were originally home schools, and it depended on the home. It depended on here's the reason why. If we just put it in a nutshell, why all the emphasis from the very, very beginning on learning and then on schools and then on higher education, universities, and things like that. Why was there such an emphasis on learning? And the answer lies in this, that we have in America a Judeo-Christian heritage. And when you study history, wherever you find the Jewish people settling, wherever you find Christians, you are going to find a special emphasis on education. You know, sometimes they called it the three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Of course, that's sort of a little joke. People know they don't all start with the letter R, but there was that emphasis, and that's what they believe children need to learn. They need to learn how to read, they need to learn how to write, and they need to learn how to do arithmetic. And you find this example in the Bible. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, give attendance to reading. Reading is important. But it goes back before the New Testament. We could give several examples in the New Testament where it talked about reading. Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But you go back even before that. You go all the way back to the very beginning. You go back to Moses, and you go back to the law. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6, God instructing the children of Israel, and he said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And the Word of God emphasizes an education in the Word of God. And the only way you can be thoroughly educated in the Word of God, the Bible, and what it says, is you have to be able to read and you have to be able to write. And that is what was being emphasized there. God and His law telling the children of Israel not to about these words. God's Word is made up of words. God thought enough of His Word to have it written down in a book. In the Bible, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And so what were they supposed to do with these words? They were supposed to teach them to the children. What does that mean? They were supposed to educate them. What were they supposed to be educated in? They were to talk about them. They were to bind these words on their hands and on their eyes and write them up on the post of thy house. That sounds a whole lot like education to me. These words were very, very important. They were to be taught to the children. They were to be written over and over and over again. And every century since Christ has had a generation of persecuted Christians. Why were the early Christians persecuted so much? Christians from the very first century all the way up through where we've started our history in America have been persecuted because of their faith. Where did their faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Their faith come from the Word. They got in trouble. They were persecuted because of their relationship to the written Word of God. And they had memorized it. They had learned it. They could read it. They could write it. One of the most ancient bodies of early Christians, the Paulicians and the Waldensians in the Swiss Alps in Europe, these groups of Christians, these were not small, insignificant numbers. These were large numbers of people that believed and followed the Word of God. And these early groups of Christians were different from the state church. The state church has always had a policy of keeping people ignorant. If you can keep people ignorant, you can control them. But the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Where we find people educated in God's Word, you find that they have a proper understanding of liberty. They have a proper understanding of individual rights. They know where they come from. They know who they're supposed to answer to. They're educated. But these early groups of Christians, they placed a great emphasis on educating their children at a time in the history of the world where it was unheard of to teach a girl how to read. Now, the feminists, if they're really interested in women, they ought to be thankful to the contribution of Christianity. These early groups of Christians all through history, they thought it was important enough to learn to read that they taught not only their sons, but they taught their daughters. And so you'd have Christian women who knew how to read, and you would have men out here in society that had prominent places that couldn't read and couldn't write. But these early Christians, they taught their sons, they taught their daughters how to read. And they also went out as missionaries and they taught other language groups how to read, how to write. The American Indians, do you know a lot of their languages would have been lost? Choctaw, Chickasaw, Cherokee, Comanche, many, many others. Their original languages would have been lost if it would have been left up to the government. But because of missionaries wanting to evangelize them and teach them the Word of God, they not only taught them to read and write in English, but they learned their language and they preserve their language in the form of dictionaries and translating the scriptures. And anybody that knows anything about Native American history will let you know it was the work of the missionaries that preserved their languages. The Choctaw is a written language. I know I have a good friend, and he's a Choctaw, and he's helped translate the Choctaw Bible and Choctaw hymnals and things like that. It was the missionaries. The missionaries in educating those who they were evangelizing. Why did they place such an emphasis on education? Because they knew the Bible was so important. The Bible was God's Word, and it was God's will for everybody to know what His Word says. Daniel Webster said this, one of our early leaders in this country, and yes, that is the Webster of the famous Webster's Dictionary. His dad was Noah Webster. And Daniel Webster said this. He said, wherever Americans went, the Bible came with them. The Bible was America's first textbook. It was the first textbook where children learned to read in the home, and it was the first textbook where children learned to go to school and to read in school. The greatest leaders of our nation has ever known. If you ever read the speeches of George Washington, read Common Sense. When I went through Common Sense by Thomas Paine a while back, I pointed out the many, many places that he referenced to Scripture and used the language of Scripture. Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry is a big one. You read his speeches and you will find that all through his speeches and all through his writings, it is interlaced with references to the Bible and language that you will only find in the Bible, or language that distinctly comes from the Bible. Daniel Boone is that way. I read a book a few years ago about Daniel Boone. And, you know, you think about Daniel Boone, coonskin cap, and, you know, he's just a hunter. He was everywhere he went, and he said this, the Bible was his favorite book. But when he wrote in his letters, he sounded well educated above his ability to spell. Now, his spelling never was that great. But the words that he used, he did not speak like a country hick. He spoke like a person who was very educated. Why did he speak that way? Why did they talk that way? They talked that way because they read the Bible. They got that lofty language from God's Word. Abraham Lincoln, he didn't go to school, he didn't go to public school, he didn't go to college. Read the Gettysburg Address. Where did he get the ability to express himself like he did? He got it from the Word of God. I want to say this, I know our time is just about quickly come and gone, but once upon a time in our country, and I'm talking about the importance of education concerning our liberties as a nation, if we don't teach our children about our country, if we don't teach them right, we will lose our freedoms, we'll lose our liberties. But once upon a time in this country, the home, the church, and when I say the church, I mean Christians at large, the home, the church, and the school were all on the same page concerning how important it was to educate the children. And when they educated the children, they stressed the fundamentals. Reading, writing, arithmetic. They had other things mixed in there. But they realized not everybody's going on. Not everybody's going to go to Harvard. Not everybody's going to go to Cambridge. But they did know that they needed to be able to read. They need to be able to write. They needed to be able to do math. And they stressed those things in school. I wonder if we've not gotten far, far away from that. They knew it was important to teach our children about our history, about the history of America. They knew we had something special. They knew we had something unique in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, in the Mayflower Compact, in the Portsmouth Compact, and on through our history, things today that are little touched upon. They knew when it came to the subject of educating our children that morality was just as important. Morality, discipline, religion, that these things were so important. They were the foundation of a good education. They would not let children come to school and disrupt and take over and burn the schoolhouse down. They made them mind. They taught them the commandments of God's law. They had the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. If they disobeyed, they were punished. They were made to obey the home, the church, and the school all agreed. And somewhere along the line, all of that changed. And now it seems like that they are at odds one with another. I saw a cartoon yesterday, and it had a child getting on a bus, getting on a school bus. And you could see the child getting on the bus, and mom's waving goodbye. And all you could see was the back of the bus and the child getting on the front of the bus. And in the cartoon, or the heading of it, said this. It said, an education isn't what you think it is. And mom looks at the little child and says, learn lots today, sweetheart. Be good and mind your teacher. And the child replies back and says, yes, mommy, I love you. But on the back of the bus, there's all kinds of bumper stickers. And you could see in the cartoon the bumper stickers. And it had a bumper sticker that had a man crawling out of a pond. And then, you know, you've seen that he turns into a monkey and he turns into a caveman. And finally, he's walking upright. And it had a bumper sticker that said, love your mother. And it had a picture of the earth, Mother Earth, love Mother Earth. It had a picture of a LGBT flag. And it had two women standing holding hands and two men standing and holding hands. It had a picture of a Bible, but it had a circle around it with a slash through it. No Bible. It had a picture of a child kneeling to pray and had a circle around it and a slash through it. It had a pro-choice, talking about being pro-abortion, bumper sticker on the back. It had a Darwin, you know, there's the Christian fish sign, and then there's the play off of that of Darwin, and it has a fish walking, and maybe you've seen that before. It had a Planned Parenthood sticker on the back of it. And so at the top of that, it said, an education isn't what you think it is. And at the bottom, it said, it's the systematic indoctrination of children's minds into what benefits the government. Now, some people would probably disagree with that, but I believe it's very easily provable that that is exactly what the great, great majority of education that is taking place in this country is all about. It's not about reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's about forming minds into doing and thinking the way the government wants them to think. Just look in our country today at the lopsided college vote concerning this past election. Overwhelmingly, college-age people voted for socialistic, big government, secular, pro-choice, anti-American ideas, anti-republicanism. That's what they voted for. And then the reaction that we see going on is just astounding. They're going to burn the country down. They're protesting an election. Have they not learned about civics, how government works, that elections have results, and sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose, but you got to get on with it, and you can't burn the country down just because you didn't get your way. Well, we're going to be talking about education the next few weeks. We hope you'll continue to listen in from week to week, and hope you have a good day. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to come and give our contact information. God bless.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.